Go to Psalm 27, please. What I'd like to share with you this morning is living with integrity. I don't know exactly what was going on in David's life here at the moment, but I do know that David was a man with a deep, deep faith in God Almighty, and a man who really loved the Lord with all of his heart. And he starts out here, it says, Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the strength of my life. In whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Through war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of Yahweh, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secrets of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I often sing in my heart, great is thy faithfulness. I sing, how great thou art. I sing a lot of these wonderful songs. I just sing them in my head, sing them in my heart. But David here in whatever, like I said, I don't know exactly where he is in his life at the moment, but I do know that where David is, he is confidently expressing his faith. He's got a confession of faith here that just doesn't quit. No matter what goes on, the enemies around them, war rises up against them, it doesn't matter. I know my God is going to be with me. I know that he is going to take care of me. I know I can trust in him. And that really, for us, all of us, I mean, not first and foremost, is what, that's where we got to keep our head. We keep our head there because we believe it. You know, we don't make, you put the word on, but David already has this in his heart. He knows what's going on. He knows his Father in heaven. He knows his God, and he's confident in him. Now, there's plenty of other Psalms where are you? Are you going to answer my prayer? In this particular one, we start off with that absolute confession of faith, that he has that confidence. And it goes on, verse 7. Hear, O Yahweh, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek my face, my heart saith unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I'm obedient. I want you. If you tell me to do this, then that's what I'll do. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord Yahweh will take me up. Teach me thy ways, O Yahweh, and lead me in thy plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelly. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of Yahweh in the land of the living. That's quite a verse. You know, I would quit. I would have quit if I didn't see you work. And that's really, I think, true. That's true of me, you know. I mean, you and I only have X amount of strength in life. I don't care who you are. You only have a certain amount, all right? And I have been encouraged and encouraged and encouraged time and time and time and time again because I have seen God work in the land of the living. But if I hadn't over all these years, I wouldn't be around. No question about it. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of Yahweh in the land of the living. Wait on Yahweh. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on Yahweh. You just stay faithful. You keep your faith. You continue to go forward. I mean, that's, you know, you lay out your heart, your life. You lay out your prayers. You lay out everything that's there. I mean, we've seen God work so many times, so many, many times. You know, and I've seen so many miracles. I constantly think of that. Think of these wonderful things. You know, they don't even have to be like life and death situations. I remember I asked God, Michael was over in Africa. And I asked God that I wanted my son to be at my daughter's wedding. And I told the Father, you know, in my prayers one day, I said, you know, Father, I haven't asked for much myself personally, and I just really want my whole family to be together at this wedding. You know, and Mike was in Africa. He was doing a mission there. And so I talked to him, and he says, there's no way. You know, there's just no way. I mean, this is not a parking lot that I'm hanging out in. So I said, all I had from the Lord was just ask. So I asked him to ask his boss. And, and he wasn't really thrilled to ask, but because it's not appropriate. But he did. He asked. And so then something happened. You know, I mean, this is weeks and time before. And, so something happened in Obama. President Obama had a thing politically with the leaders over in Africa, and they weren't seeing eye to eye, so they shut up all the soldiers in their quarters. And Mike's boss came by and said, you know what, we're just sitting here. Why don't you go ahead and go? So he went. He was there. I had the joy of having my whole family there. I mean, this was a prayer. This was a request. You know, so I got nations that are doing stuff and not doing stuff just to answer the request. And then, so he came, landed, everything came together. We had the joy of being together. And then, he got on the plane to go back because right away afterwards. And as soon as he hit the ground, they had his bag and his stuff, all of his equipment in their hand, and put it in his hand, and they went off into the field because they were ordered back in. He never missed a beat. You know, God will do all kind. He's done all kinds of things. You know, that's just a father's request from another father. I asked my father for that blessing. And he did it. What a great joy. And I'm sure there was a whole lot going on. A whole lot going on in life in order to get that done. Your father hears your prayers. He's always there. He is the Lord God Almighty. That's why you and I, we don't quit. We don't quit. We don't lose our integrity. We maintain it. You know, I love, again, that verse. I had fainted, verse 13, unless I had believed to see the goodness of Yahweh in the land of the living. If you really don't believe it, you just fold like a towel, you know, like a bedsheet. You just fold. You got no strength. So, go to Matthew, please, chapter 5. In verse 13, this is what the Lord says of you, his people. Jesus Christ taught this. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. And he means it. He's not kidding. He's not trying to butter you up. I mean, when you think about this, if you really think about, he means that about me. You better believe it. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, its saltiness, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Now, there's a lot of wonderful little things. Oh, salt is for healing. Salt is preservation. Salt's got a lot of uses. Forget about it. The key here is if you lose your salt, if you lose what you are, your commitment, who and what you are, then it's good. You're good for nothing. You may be all those quality of metaphoric type of things that salt's supposed to represent, but if you lose it, and the Lord's talking about commitment, then we're good for nothing. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. If you really are the light, the beacon of the world, and the darker the world gets, the greater your light shines, by the way. And the world's getting dark, dark, and darker all the time. Never would have believed a lot of things that have gone on in these last many years. But you better, so your light can shine even greater than it's ever shined before. I'm expecting great and wonderful things. I'd really love to see another little revival. That would be nice. You're the light of the world, but a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You know, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. But if you hide it, you hide the light, it's good for nothing. Nobody does that. God has given, you are the light of the world. So shine. Shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's how you shine. You speak the word, you live the word, and it's living it, the good works. Just knowing it isn't going to cut it. You know, they got to see you in action. They got to see your compassion, your love, your commitment, your steadfastness. You know, that you don't compromise, that you got integrity. I mean, this is why have you ever seen people who don't have integrity? I think I see them all the time. They're always in front of my face. In fact, they run for government all the time. They say one thing, do another. I mean, you know, same thing with going to businesses, right? You know, same thing with everything else. Oh, you're all welcome until there's something that we don't want to welcome you about. You and I, we've been so blessed. We've been given so much. We have seen our Father work in our lives, in the people around us, in other people that have come and gone. You know, it breaks my heart when people who knew God once upon a time turn their hearts away from him. You want to talk about a train wreck. But I've seen God do great and marvelous things. And it encourages me. And I just want to keep this. You know, and again, your light, when it does shine and, you know, you're in the middle of a room and everybody else is out of their gourd and doing whatever they're doing, and you stand there as an individual of integrity and representing God, speaking his word. I want to tell you what, you stand out. You stand out. And they get to see. They get to see in the flesh, you know, the word living. They get to see the word living. Go to Philippians chapter 2. And in verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. You know, we do all things without murmuring and disputing. That's a difficult one, isn't it, for most of us? Doing everything in our lives without no murmuring. What's going on here? All right. Or disputing, arguing. We do the will of the Lord. And God, all I see is unbelievers here. Oh, I don't want to hang out with them. I want to be with them. I don't want. You're the light of the world. Stop murmuring. Stop disputing. Stop hiding. You know, cloistering is another way of hiding, right? That's not what it's about. You want to be out in the midst of the world and you want to just live and enjoy, and have joy. when everybody else is a train wreck, you want to have joy. Smile on your face. So we do everything without murmuring and disputing, 14:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. How do you do that? Holding forth the word of life. You talk and you hold forth what God says in his word. You don't talk about the word. You don't talk around the word. You don't talk just the principles of the word. You literally give them the word of life. God says in his word that he loves you. He sent, when you're talking to somebody, he sent his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save you. And then they come back and they say to you, well, what do you think? Jesus is the only way to get to heaven? Yeah. That's what God Almighty says in his word. That's the light of the world. That's the truth. And they may reject it and they may accept it, but you spoke the light of the word in this evil and perverse time in which we live. That's, you're working for him. You're not working for nobody else. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, and that I may not run in vain, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. When the Lord returns, and those of us who have done this, those of us, we're going to rejoice in the day of Christ. First of all, Paul's going to rejoice in the people that he's taught and trained and helped. You're going to rejoice because you're standing there, well done, good and faithful servant. There's no downside to this in your relationship with God. The only thing that's important, you walk with integrity. I'm here to deliver a message verbatim. You know, I watch a lot of people teach the Bible. I watch a little YouTube. I've seen people on TV. Most of the time, because somebody else says to me, oh, that was something good, you ought to listen to that. And I listen. They spend 95% of their time is talking about, they read a verse, and then have a whole spiel about the verse. And a lot of times you can't even find the verse anymore in their whole thing. They went off into never land. You know, they go down the rabbit hole, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. I just try to read you as much Bible as I can. This is the light of the world. This is God's word. The gospel brings deliverance. I do my best to rightly divide it. I do my best to handle it well and not deceitfully. That's all I can do. Now, I do my best. They're a lot better than me. A lot better than me. A lot of other places, I'm sure. But the point is, you do your best. And you try to deliver people the scriptures. So we want to be blameless in our lives. We don't want to be, oh, look at that, there's a Christian. You know, and be the lousy example. And there's a whole, the world will do that to you no matter what. See, the world hates you. Don't fall for this one. The world hates you. See, I am, oh, you're one of those people. You know, you believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. You believe that there are only boys and girls. Isn't that sick? That should be a question. You know, you're not tolerant because you won't believe that Jesus is the only way to eternal life. You're not tolerant. That's hate speech. Besides whatever else you are. I mean, you know, the point is, no matter what, it's not going to be accepted by the world and the people who are doing the doctrines of devils. They got their agenda. They want to wipe you out. I'm not talking about those people. We be blameless. We live our lives blamelessly, so they got nothing to say. But they're still going to say it. That's my point. It's not going to stop them from, you're intolerant, you're a hater, you know, you're a bigot. You know, all these other wonderful things people got to say about you. Just listen to the news. But we're blameless and harmless, the sons of God. We want to walk like our Lord walked. We want to act like he acted. We want to try to walk in his steps. That's what the scriptures tell us in 1 John. And we do it by holding forth the word of life. And that never get talked out of that part. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in verse 5, it says, you are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. This is who and what we are. You're the children of light. Go to Proverbs 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And in verse 18, it says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The individual, the path of the just, you are the just. You are those who are justified, and you are also those who walk according to God's word. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. I'm telling you something, when you walk into a place and you shine, first of all, you're probably the only people who have a smile on your face, for crying out loud. Some guy said to me, what are you so happy about? I got a lot of things to be happy about. But I specifically, when I'm thinking about my Father, when I'm singing, great is thy faithfulness, how great thou art, I ain't got nothing to be sad about. When I got my head tuned in straight. Now, do we all do that every moment of the day? No. But I tell you what, we don't have much reason not to. All we got to do is put on the word and decide to live this day for him. To be the salt of the earth, to be the light of the world. Everything in my life ain't going exactly the way I want it to go. So much of it is. So much more of it is. I can either focus on what I don't have and what I need and how, whatever, or I can focus on all the wonderful blessings and the deliverance and the great things. My choice. Be the light of the world. Be the light of the world. Go to Proverbs 22. A good man's name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Who you are, what you are. A good man's name is worth everything. Okay? If you don't have that, you don't have nothing. How does a good man get a good name? We're not talking about Billy or Jack or Bartholomew. We're not talking about those kinds of names. We're talking about you get a good reputation. Your name has a high valued reputation because of the quality of an individual that you are. You know, there's nothing better than that. You know, let's say, okay, your integrity, your honesty, your seeking excellence, your the way in which you handle your life and your affairs. These things promote you in life, okay? Let's say we're all back young again, all right? Let's, you know, we got our kids, our grandchildren, we're young. And we're starting out in life again. All right. Most of us in this room are not starting out in life. Okay. But if you were and you had it to do again, who would you be? What would you change? There's a few things I'd change. And who would you want around you? Who would you want around you? Do you think you'd want the smartest people around you? I mean, if you're going to work with people, do you want them to really be smart, energetic? All two good qualities, right? You know, if you're going to have a partner. But you better make sure that the third quality that they have is integrity. Because if you got a smart and energetic thief, you're going to suffer an awful lot of loss. People you want around you, doesn't matter how smart they are. It's nice if they're smart. It's nice if they're energetic. It's nice if there are a lot of things. Charismatic, but you want them people to be people of integrity. You don't need Judases. You don't need backstabbers. You want people. So who do you want to be? When my final days come and they read my eulogy, what are they going to say about me? You know, what are they going to say? I want to live my life so that good things can be said. I don't want it to be otherwise. See, that then it seems to me that you'd be a good example unto the Lord. And I'll give you some real spiritual examples of this. One is a great one in Daniel. if you got your behavior as Christ-like, if you're really endeavoring to walk with God and love, and you're compassionate and caring and giving and generous, I mean, and you got that in your head and in your life and in your heart, and that's what people think of you, or if they think that you're a real witch or a real bum, hard ass. Now, what are they going to think? What are they going to say? Go to Daniel in chapter 6. I got to get there. Here's an example of a man, Daniel. Daniel was taken captive. He's living in a foreign land. He was forcibly taken captive, forcibly brought into situations. He is a slave. He's given, you either do this well or you're going to end up in the coal mine. They send them to school and give them the best because they want something out of him. All right. They didn't put him in school and send them on his way to a great job because the nation of Babylon was reaching out and wanted to be inclusive. No. They wanted a slave that would perform and do the job. That's what they were thinking when they started out with this kid. And you know what all Daniel cared about? I don't want to defile myself before God Almighty. So he asked to eat certain food. And then he broke his back to learn to be the best, to serve faithfully, to be honest, have integrity, do everything right so that God Almighty would get glory. And if you read the book of Daniel, God gets glory. I don't care what the world turns into or what our nation turns into. I don't really. It is what it is. People have made their choice. God help them. They've made their choice. Here, Daniel didn't have a choice. Chapter 6, verse 1. He didn't have a choice, but he made his choice. And it says, it pleased Darius to set before the kingdom, over the kingdom, 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three presidents, good structure, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. See, that's always the goal here, all right? No corruption. The king gets no damage. Doesn't matter about it much anybody else, but the king gets no damage. It's all right. It's his kingdom. Then Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the entire realm. So you got the three presidents. Daniel was a good one. He was first. 120 others. And all they're doing is watching these other guys that they're not stealing the king blind. They're holding everybody accountable. Right? And now the king says, well, look at that Daniel. What an example he must have been. What an example. What an individual of integrity. Then the presidents, verse 4, and the princes sought to find occasion against him. He's making us look bad. So the politics goes on, right? Daniel is doing such a good job. The king's considering making him the ruler over the entire land. These guys don't like that. We're not going to be able to do much under the table with Daniel around. So they sought for an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no occasion nor fault. Now, that is an unbelievable statement. Can I, if I had the investigators and power and money and everything else, and I looked into any one of our lives, any one of us, and your entire lifetime, I can't find a single solitary mistake that I can accuse you of anything. I can tell you this, you look at my life, you're going to find them. You answer your own question. I have made plenty of mistakes. I have made bad judgments, bad investments, bad a lot of things. Point is, when they looked at Daniel and they're looking hard and they got the resources and they hate this guy because he's so good and so squeaky clean, they can't find a thing. That's an individual, spiritual man, an individual of integrity, honesty, an individual you can't find nothing, no matter how much you want to get rid of them. And they, you know, they'd never stop really trying. So they could find no occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. His whole life was an example. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And that's the way I want to go out. You want to come after me? I know my life ain't perfect, but it ain't that important either. But the point is, I want to live blamelessly and harmlessly, the sons of God in the midst of a perverse nation. And the only thing that you can come against me with is that he believes that there's one God. He believes what God says about marriage. He believes what the Bible says, period. That's a joke. We got to get rid of him. And that's what they do to a lot of these wonderful Christian people. Oh, and then, but if they made a mistake, you know, they had a divorce, they made a mistake, could have been 30 years ago. The hypocrites, those Christians. Don't let them throw that at you. You stand blameless. Do you follow me? We want this. We want to maintain that. My Father's going to help. My Father answers our prayers. My Father will help me through anything I got to go through in life. And he'll help me when people want to hunt me down. And they will. Keep it up. They're hunting them all over the rest of the world. We got brothers and sisters all over the place. We are living so easy. We got food. We have water coming out of the sink. A lot of people don't even have clean water. What we fuss about It's ridiculous. Daniel was a man, spiritual man, and you know what? You can't find too much better. You can't find an individual who got more revelation than he did in his lifetime. You can't find an individual who walked with God and angels were fighting to get into his presence. Where entire nations, any man who speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel, let their houses be a dunghill. We're talking about a man who literally changed kings' hearts and lives and moved the things of God. A man who became the chief astrologer in Babylon. And guess where the wise men came when they saw the star in the sky? They were the ones that were taught by Daniel that that's the time when the Messiah will come. There's a guy who changed things. He was a light of the world. He was a salt of the earth. He was a servant of the living God. That's the way I want to go. You fight for that. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. See, I always told my kids as they were growing up, what kind of man and what kind of woman do you want to become? Well, I'll say that to every single one of you, no matter how old you are today. What kind of man or what kind of woman are you going to be for the rest of your days? That's how it's going to be. If there are 3 days left, or there's 100,000 days left. I don't know how many that is. It's a lot. Point is, what kind of man and woman are you going to be? And you could start today. Every day is a new one. Every day is a new one. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You know, you're supposed to walk, know what the heck's going on around you. Spiritually, and I would say almost every other which way. You don't want to walk across the street without looking both ways. It's a little stupid, all right? Now, don't be a fool. You know, we don't cross the street without looking both ways. Well, it's the same thing with life. You don't walk through life without walking all around you, seeing where things are at. But especially spiritually. And this, redeeming the time. We only got so much time to move the word. We've only got so much time to be effective in our life. You know, there comes a time when you're no longer effective. That's time to just pray. You can't get out of the house anymore. You can't get out of the, it's time to pray. You can still be effective, but it's just a different thing. You see what I mean? Every time, every place has got a season. Little kids can do all the things that God wants them to do, but they can't, they're not that mobile unless mommy and daddy take them there. You see what I mean? Everybody's got a time and a place. We redeem the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Speaking to yourself. Or singing to yourself. Keeping your head in that beautiful place. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful thought. But don't be fools. Life is short. This age is short. The Lord's coming back. We want to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Go to Ephesians 4, verse 20. You know, living a life of integrity, as far as God's concerned, is pretty easy. If you think about this. Let's look at what it says here in starting in verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. You put that off. And you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So you put on the things of God, the Spirit of God. You put on the Word of God in your head. You walk by the Spirit. Wherefore, putting away lying. Oh, I'm not going to lie. Wow, that would be refreshing in life, right? If everybody didn't lie. Put away lying. Speak every man truth to his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry. You can be annoyed. The word anger here is I'm annoyed. The other kind of anger that we think about, where people lose their mind, they boil over, thumos, that's a sin. When you get to the place where you're boiling over, that is sin. That's the word thumos, tempest. But to be annoyed, Jesus Christ was annoyed when he threw over the tables of the money changers. That's the same word that's used here. And sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, you know what? At the end of the day, it's over. You don't carry it into the next day. That's something that takes a little bit of work. Mental discipline to do. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him place. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The tongue is a terrible thing. It is most difficult to control everything that comes out of your mouth. But you don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying. So that's a helpful hint. Actually, it's more than a helpful hint. It is a direction. What is corrupt communication? Anything that doesn't edify. So what should I be coming out of my mouth? When I'm with God's people, when I'm with anybody, it ought to be something that builds up the person, edifies. Like grandma used to say, if you ain't got something good to say, don't say nothing at all. Keep your mouth shut. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Spirit that God has given you. He's given you Holy Spirit. He's given it so that you can be a witness unto him, manifest power, have a relationship with God. But if you choose to walk by the old man, the old nature, if you choose not to have integrity, and you grieve the Spirit of God within you. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with all malice. And here's a tough one. Be kind one to another. I'm being facetious. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know why I forgive? Because God, for the sake of Jesus, who died on the cross, forgave me. He didn't forgive me because I asked. He didn't forgive me because I was good. He didn't forgive me because I was worthy. He forgave me because his son paid the price on the cross. That's just amazing, beautiful. You know, God has given us so much. We keep our faith. We've seen God deliver time and time and time again. And we keep our integrity. We walk in integrity. And you are the light of the world. People notice. They notice. They notice when somebody is generous and sweet. They notice that when somebody is this guy really believes what he says. Yeah. When people keep their word, they keep their oaths. You know, these are things people notice. So that's what I wanted to share with you today.